The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse number 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by Him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. As some folks think they've been confirmed. I have too. Been confirmed, amen. The Spirit of God's confirmed me. He's conformed me. He's constrained me. He controls me. And He compels me. And I can go on with a lot more, but we'll study about that later when we get there. Verse number 7. It said, so that ye come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm, there's that word confirm again, you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, that's a great term, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. You can be seated. And let's pray tonight. Father, give us wisdom, understanding, help us to understand the Scriptures. Without the Spirit of God, we would not know. Without the Spirit of God, we could not, Lord, have it applied. And without, Lord, the Holy Spirit, there'd be no understanding of the truth of the Word of God tonight. We thank You, Lord, that You give us truth from heaven. And I pray tonight that You open our minds, that we might comprehend. And may it stir our hearts. Lord, may it add to our soul, that we might grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, we'll not get to this verse tonight, but look in verse number 9 for a little thought. I want you to write this down and think about it, because that's where we're headed to. The Bible said in verse number 9, God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And that's where we need to be, is in the fellowship of Jesus and with Jesus. Amen? Thank God for the fellowship. Jot this down. The Son of God, jot it down, the Son of God became the Son of Man. And then, let me just give it on to you. The Son of God became the Son of Man to make the sons of men the sons of God, so that the sons of men can have fellowship with the Son of God. Amen. Now, don't want to blow your mind with that, but that's there. Amen. That means tonight, when Jesus came to this earth, He came and took on the form of flesh. Amen. And became the Son of Man, so that by doing that tonight, He could make the sons of men who we are, the sons of God, which we are tonight, amen, by the grace of God. And at the same time, that to make the sons of men have fellowship with the Son of God. And how do we have fellowship with the Father? Through Jesus Christ, the Son. Amen. You'll never get to the Father, but through the Son. And you'll never have fellowship with the throne of God. Now, since I have fellowship, I can come to the throne of grace tonight. I can find help in the time of need. I can find me some help when I need it. I'm telling you that tonight. Now, let's go back to chapter 1 and verse number 2. I want to pull out something out of verse number 2. A few weeks ago, I preached on the church of God. You remember that? I said there's a difference between the church and the churches. There is. The true church is that church or that born-again crowd tonight that's been washed in the blood. But the churches are the religious part of the world, and they play with the buildings. And we are talking about the organizations, man's organization. But I'm glad tonight I know what the true church is, and I'm glad that I don't have a part in the religion of the world. Amen. God's took me out of that. And I praise the Lord for it. But going in verse number 2, it said, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. I want to deal with a couple of words, and one in particular tonight, that word sanctified. Now, a lot of Baptists are scared of that word. And I preached a little bit on it tonight, I mean other days other than tonight. And I'm going to touch on it again a little bit tonight. And I thank God for that word sanctified. Don't scare me. I mean, it don't scare me at all. Now, you've got to remember that Corinth is a wicked place when Paul's there. And by the way, let me remind you this. The book of Corinthians is not to the Jews. It's to those Gentiles. I'm not saying tonight that there wasn't no Jews there. But I'm telling you, primarily, the Word of God is given to Corinth. It was stooped and steeped in sin. And it was a cesspool, if you will, of ungodliness. Some said that Paul probably saw what he saw in the book of Rome. I mean, in the book of Romans. And he saw that on the streets of Rome. And kind of looked at this thing and said it corresponds to Rome and Corinthians. Corinth there was a wicked place. It was a place of Diana, the goddess. And brother, there's all kinds of wickedness going on in that city. And so Paul's going to a place. Brother, I'll tell you, he had his hands full when he got to Corinth. But now he's talking here today, and he's talking about those who are a member of the church of God, the true church. And then he comes down to the sanctified. Now you heard me tell this the other day, and you've heard it mentioned before. I said that you could ask 100 people what the word sanctification means, and you'd probably get 101 different answers. You could ask 10, 15 Baptists tonight, there'd be 2 or 3 different answers, or a half a dozen answers, maybe 10 or 15 answers. Amen. Most folks don't know what sanctification is. And we need to look at that and study it just a little bit. Some of you know a little bit of it because I know we taught some of it and some of you already know it from other places where you learned that tonight. But that word sanctified. And I also told you the other day that a preacher asked this woman, as she is talking about, she'd get up and say, everybody needs to be sanctified. And we need to be sanctified and filled with the Holy Spirit. And she'd do that, and she majored on sanctification. So the preacher asked her one day, ma'am, what is sanctification? She said, I don't rightly know, but that Bible's full of it. Amen. And so I'm afraid tonight our churches are about like that. They don't know what that word sanctification is. So I want to look at that just a little bit and hope that it might help you. And look at this. Now the word sanctified, and we'll look at the word saints too as well. As we look at this tonight in just a little, maybe we have time for it. We don't, we get this word sanctified and go home. And there's some things I believe we need to take our Bible and look at. Primarily, I'm going to try to stay with the book of 1 Corinthians, but it's impossible when you're studying the Word of God to stay with one book. You got 65 more in the shadows that you can use. Amen. And the Lord told me to preach the whole counsel of the Word of God. So I've got my hands own 66 books tonight that we can talk about this word sanctification. Now, I am hoping tonight that we don't get ever 66 books. Amen. And study on those, and I'm sure you are too. But looking at this tonight, the word sanctification, we'll turn it around and talk about sanctified. That's what it's called here. That word sanctified just simply means made holy. It's made holy. It also means that it's been made set apart, if you will. And that word sanctifies in the Bible, we use that too. But what he means is that we to sanctify something, it means to set something aside, especially with the Bible terms. It means to set it aside for religious or for spiritual purposes, or to set it aside for the purpose of God. And that's the part that we want to think about tonight. Amen. That is setting it apart for God. In other words, we make something holy. Now, that word sanctified just simply means to make it holy. You can sanctify a chair. You can sanctify a bench. You can sanctify an altar. You can sanctify a car. You can sanctify your shoes. You can sanctify anything under the sun if you want to. But I'm looking at it tonight from a spiritual standpoint. When you sanctify something from a Bible term, you're setting it aside for the use and the purpose and the glory for God. Now, you with me tonight? That's what it is. Now, you said all that. Matter of fact, one good example of sanctifying something is in the tabernacle. They were told to sanctify those things in the tabernacle. They sanctified every piece of furniture that was placed inside. That means that you could not use it for anything else. Amen. I mean, I'm like this. I mean, you sanctify your piano, you sanctify the organ, you sanctify your guitar, amen. You sanctify whatever you're playing or any instruments you've got, amen. And that means that what you're setting it apart for, you're setting it apart for God, amen. We wouldn't want somebody to come in and play country music on the piano, and on the organ, amen, and we wouldn't want to on any instrument that's been set aside for God. And so in the Old Testament we find that the tabernacle's been set aside, and God has used that in all the things on the inside of that tabernacle. Now, I want you to point out some things. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 2 said that they're sanctified in Christ Jesus. That means tonight we've been set apart for the Master's use. That means tonight when we're saved by the grace of God and sanctified, that means we become God's property. We no longer belong to ourselves. We belong to Him. When I was 21 years old, I had a birthday and the pastor come up to me and he said, "Brother Dennis," he said, "do you feel like now you're a man of your own?" And brother, I crowed big. I stepped up on the limb and I said, "Yes, sir, I sure do." And he knocked a knot on my head, spiritually speaking. Amen. And he said, "You're not. The Bible said you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. You belong to Him. So I'm not a man of my own tonight." Amen. But turn your Bible and turn into the book of 1 Corinthians. And let's go over to the 6th chapter. Chapter number 6 of the book of 1 Corinthians. And we'll turn into the 6th chapter. Give you time to turn there. Now remember, I said Corinth was a wicked city. It was a terrible place. I mean, there they were. They were having all kinds of spiritual problems. Brother Paul had his hands, as I said a while ago, his hands were full when he went to Corinth to preach the gospel. But it was the gospel that changed their heart and also changed their mind. If it hadn't changed their heart, it would never change their mind. Amen. Some folks said, "I need a mind change." You need a heart change. A heart change will change your mind. Now, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6, and go with me please, down, let's see, let's look at verse number 9. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 9, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" Now, what is the unrighteous? I don't like to play on words, but I like to look at words. If righteous means being right with God, unrighteous means not right with God. So he's saying, "Know ye not that those who are not right with God shall not inherit the kingdom of God." That's a paraphrase, not changing the Word of God whatsoever. So we look, he said, "Be not deceived." That means a hoodwinked, something slid over you till you're not seeing. He said, "Neither fornicators nor idolaters." And I read that one, I mean, I heard a preacher one time get up and read that, and he said, "and idolaters." Now, I don't know how you say it tonight, but I call it idolaters. I just thought I'd throw that in. You might have heard somebody mispronounce it. But it said, he said here, "fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Now, in this verse, point out something. I want to point this out to you. Here they were. They had that goddess of Diana, and their wickedness was mainly with the flesh. And they had all kinds of sexual perversions going on in the city of Corinth. And if you'll notice here, the Lord tells us in this same verse, every one of these are that. He said, "Be not deceived, neither fornicators." That's those who are living together outside the confines of marriage. Single people living together. Amen, cohabitating. And then it said, "nor idolaters." And those are those who or after the flesh, and they had their own gods. And in this particular case, since it's in this same area, it's with dealings with the pleasures of sin in the flesh. Now that's what these idolaters are. Then it said, "nor adulterers." Adulterers are those who are stepping outside the realm of marriage. Men running after somebody else's wife, and somebody else's wife running after somebody else's husband. Now that's how plain it is. And that's what they were doing in this city of Corinth. Then he said, nor effeminate. That word effeminate, it just means sissy men. Amen. Sissified. They didn't walk like a man. Amen. They wobbled and waddled. Amen. And they weren't right. I don't like to be around sissy men. Amen. I don't. I'm scared of them. There's something wrong with sissy men. Any of you think you're sissy, amen, change your lifestyle. Amen. And God is the only one that can do that for you real good. Amen. I always told my boys, walk like a man, talk like a man, smell like a man. If you have to leave your right guard off. Amen. but act like a man. Amen. And then he said, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. That's those who are leaning toward men with men and women with women. Amen. Now here's what the Lord said in verse number 10. Nor thieves. We know who thieves are. They're the ones that steal you blind. Nor covetous. Those are the ones that desire something that you've got. Nor drunkards. We know what drunkards are. They run after wine and drugs and things. Those are the nor revilers. Brother, they're rebels is what they are. They revile. And then we see there are extortioners. Those who misuse and misdo and beat people and so forth shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now God said that crowd will not inherit. Who? The unrighteous. And then He names who the unrighteous are. Now, look at verse number 11, and this is what I like. Here's where I'm wanting to get to. We're talking about sanctified. And look in verse 11. And such were some of you. He said, that's what you used to be. Now, if there's anything that I said tonight that has come up in your life, I want it to be a used to be and not what it is now. Thank God. We've been changed from all that. I'm glad we have. Praise His name. And such were some of you. But ye are what? Washed. How we washed? In the water? In the baptism? No! The blood! Amen. Washed. But ye are what? Sanctified. There's that word. You see, there's that word. What are we? We've been brought out of that and we've been separated and set apart for His glorious, wonderful, godly use. Amen. We've been brought out of that world of sin. We're not that anymore. We've been changed. So I praise God for it. Then we go a little bit further. It said, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by what? The Spirit of our God. Now remember that little phrase because I'll just refer you back to it in a minute instead of having to come back and read it. Remember this in the back of your mind. Put that on the back shelf, on the top shelf, by the way, where you can see it. And put it back in the recess of your mind right now. And in a little bit, I'm going to remind you of it. And it's going to say something like when it says this, by the Spirit of our God. Now, in verse number 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Now, Paul's saying that we've been set apart, saved from that, and we have been sanctified. Amen. I'm glad we can say that, ain't you? Amen. Praise be unto God for that word sanctified. Now, also, I want you to look at some things. Go back to chapter 1 of the book of 1 Corinthians. And I want you to slide down to verse number 30. Now, we're talking about the word sanctified for a minute. Sanctification. Amen. I'm glad, thank God, we've been set apart. And we belong no more to the devil. And the devil no more belongs to us. Amen. One day I got under conviction. Went down the aisle, bowed in the altar, called upon God. Amen. Knocked on heaven's door. I'm thanking God tonight that He opened the door. And said, come on in. And when I come in, matter of fact, what actually took place is, when I opened the door, He moved in. And when He moved in, the devil moved out, took all his furniture, took his suitcase. Amen. Said goodbye, went down the road, and ain't been back to my heart no more because there came one tonight that took up residence in my soul. Amen. And he's been living there ever since. And there's no room for Satan and all the cohorts of hell. Brother, all they can do is shoot at me and fire at me and talk about me and, aggravate me. But thank God they can't move in because God has not put up a for rent sign on my soul. Amen. And I got news for you. He's paying the rent. And we won't have to evict him. Because I read in the Word of God that no man can pluck me out of my Father's hands tonight. Amen. And I could not throw him out if I wanted to throw him out. And thank God I don't. Amen. Now that's some good glorified truth tonight. I'll tell you right now. That's Scripture, too, every bit of it. Somebody said, I'm afraid I'm going to lose salvation. You thinking about kicking out Christ? Amen. He's going to be hard to get rid of. He moved in to stay.
Amen. You'll never get the door open to get him out. Amen. I'm sealed till the day of redemption. Now, when some of these saints of God wake up one morning and find out that they're signed, sealed, and all they're doing is waiting on delivery, amen, things will start changing in their life. Amen. Business, brother, will pick up when they recognize it. Now, going back to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 30. Now, as I begin to study this, it just thrills my heart to be able to take these words. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us. Now, here's who God has made Christ. Now, look. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus. Who? We, the saints of God, are where? In Christ Jesus, who of God is made. What it means? What's this mean? God made Christ this for us. What are they? Number one, wisdom. Christ is our wisdom. I wouldn't know anything, could not comprehend anything. I mean, would not be able to understand the Word of God if He did not become my wisdom. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He's my wisdom. Number two, He's my righteousness. That's my right living. If you want to be right, have Christ. He is right. So He's my wisdom. He's my righteousness. And then He's my sanctification. He's the one that set me apart. The Baptist, amen, they didn't set me apart. I went down to the church one day when God had called me to pastor a church, and they brought the little chairs down there and set them down in the front. I used to have ordinations like this. Now we got so dignified we don't have to do it. And we learn better, and we don't want to take up God's precious time anymore. So we brought the man of God, or they brought me and my wife and the other preacher they ordained at the same time, and his wife, and I believe another one. And they brought three men down there and their wives. And they set us down in the front. They didn't put us on the pew. They moved the pew up in the front, and there we sat on that pew. We're the ones that they're looking at. It's just like they put the white light on us. And the preacher got up there and he preached. They asked questions to every one of us. I was scared to death. And I answered the questions, I guess, according to, I don't know if I'd answered them wrong. Well, what they'd have done, amen. But I must have answered them right. And then they preached two or three sermons. I didn't hardly know what's going on. I'd never been to one in my life, and that's the first one. And then they preached to us, turned us back over to the church. But before they turned us back over to the church, they put us up in the altar, and they come around and put their hands on our head, and they prayed for us. And I'm not talking about said a little old prayerette. Every one of them seemed like this, trying to get the load off their shoulders and let everybody know that they could pray. And they prayed long prayers, and they ordained us. Now, they put their hands on me, but long before they put their hands on me, God had already touched me and saved me and set me apart for His glory. Thank God tonight. I'm glad of that. He'd already sanctified me. Now, they might have got up and said, and I heard a few of them say, I was at your ordination. I sat on the presbytery. Most of them is about gone now. And the ones I see now don't usually say too much about it because they can't say much nohow. They're too far gone. But I'm telling you tonight, they laid hands upon us, but the Lord had already laid hands upon me. So He set us apart. And so it happened the same way for you. You said, preacher, I haven't been set apart for preaching. No, you haven't. But if you've been saved by the grace of God, He has set you apart, and God has already sanctified you and set you apart for His service. Now, let me just give you something tonight. Some of you, if I ask you this, I'm kind of getting off the track a little bit, but I'm trying to follow the Spirit of God. That's all I know. Listen, if I ask you tonight when you got saved, I've heard people said, well, I got saved on the 14th of September, 1992. I was sitting on the end of the pew. I walked down, and the old floor, there was boards, and I knelt down on the third board back from the altar, and I put my knee on the third nail on the end of it. And I looked at my watch, and it was a certain time. Now, some of you tonight could not tell me the date of the month. Some of you could not tell me the time of the day. And some of you could not even tell me what year it was. Amen. Some of you can't do all, and I'm not up here to ask you to remember all that. And some of you don't even know what in the world you've done, but except call upon God, you recognize one thing, that you was lost and undone and headed to hell, and God needed to save you. You might not even been in the church. You might have been down at the hog lots. You might have been in the back room. I've won a lot of people in the homes. Amen. And you might have been on the side of the road, pulled over to the side of the road and called upon God. But somewhere down the road, you got saved. And I'll tell you this, you probably didn't even know what happened to you when you went home, except you know something had made a change. And you didn't know the fullness of it. And amen. And you got up and said, I'm saved. I confess my sin and the Lord Jesus birthed me into His family and I'm a new creature in Christ Jesus. And you went home. You didn't know the whole concept of that. Amen. All you know is that something happened. You got up the next morning and the world looked a little different. And you looked at the Bible and it looked a little different. There's something in the heart that you didn't know that you had never wanted, but now it's there. And the house of God began to be lovely to you. And the Word of God began to be sweet. And there's something on the inside that made a change in you. And listen, until this day, you're learning every day more and more that what happened to you when you went to the altar is that the Lord Jesus moved in and the grace of God took over and now you've been set apart for the Master's use. Amen. I'm learning more and more about my salvation every day. I feel like I'm more saved than I've ever been. And really I ain't. I'm just as saved now as I was when I got saved. I mean, I'm not no more bound for heaven now than I was 20 years ago or 30. But I feel like, brother, I've got heaven on my... I feel like I'm a little closer, maybe because of my age and maybe because I've learned something from the Word of God. But I want to tell you something tonight. I'm no more saved than I was yesterday. But I'm enjoying it more today. It means more to me today. Does that make sense to you? Amen. We just kind of forget some of this, don't we? I mean, the more I get in the book, I look at it and I said, hey, you know, that's happening to me. Where was this verse all the time? Amen. I'm glad the hidden things of God have been brought forth to us. All right, where was I? All right, we're talking about sanctified. We're talking about sanctification. Now, there's three ways tonight that we can be sanctified. Three ways. Jot these down and turn, first of all, to John chapter 17 and verse 17. That 17th chapter, John, is such a blessed chapter. That's where you find somebody who cares for you, has been praying for you, is praying for you, and will pray for you. I've asked people sometimes, pray for me. And they said, I will. And I believe sometimes they did, but I believe they forgot me in a day or two. You know how I know that? Because I've had people to ask me, preacher, pray for me. And I said, I will. And I prayed for them for a day or two and I quit till they asked me again. Uh-oh. Preacher, you wouldn't do that to me. I probably have. Amen. And listen, you're in the same boat I'm in. You've got the same flesh that I've got. And brother, we'll get to the place, and we mean well in praying for somebody, but we forget it. Now, how are we sanctified? Turn to John 17, 17. Surely you're there by now. The Bible said sanctify. There's that big old word. Sanctify. That means set apart. That means to kind of make it holy for a special purpose. Sanctify them. Who? The saints of God. Who's praying this? Christ. He's saying, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy truth. Sanctify them through thy truth. And then he tells us what the truth is. He said, thy word is truth. How are we sanctified tonight, saints? By the truth. What's the truth? The Word of God. So number one, we are sanctified by and through the Word of God. That's why you need to get in it. The Word of God will make you pure. You sit and watch television 24/7 and you'll get to acting like Hollywood, living like Hollywood, smelling like Hollywood, talking like Hollywood. Amen. You watch Fox News 24/7. Brother, you'll get to talking like commentators, looking at the world like commentators. Amen. You'll look at the world and say, what's going on? You'll take Christ out of the middle of it because they take Christ out of everything. Amen. Amen. You watch a roadrunner for 24/7. Brother, you'll go around beeping and going nowhere. Amen. Am I here telling you the truth? But you get your head buried in that book. It ain't going to be long. You get to talking like Jesus, walking like Jesus, living like Jesus, feeling like Jesus, getting excited like Jesus, and working like Jesus, and living like you've been to Calvary. Amen. I see now we're not going to get no further than this one little word. I'm going to have to cut it short. Now listen to me. He said, "Thy word is truth." Now there's one. Let's have two more things that'll help us to get to know how to get sanctified. Go to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13. I could give you some more different places for the word, but I'll just give you one of each, and then I like to whet your appetite. You go home and get you a concordance and sit down and read these words. Amen. Turn that little flat box off hanging on the wall and look at the book. Hebrews chapter number 13. How many chapters are there in the book of Hebrews? 13. So what's that mean? You go to the last chapter of the book of Hebrews. Now, it don't take a mathematician to figure that out, does it? Nor a theologian. Hebrews chapter 13. Look at verse number 12. Hebrews 13:12 said, "Wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate." If the Word of God will sanctify us, secondly, what else sanctifies us? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. Brother, when God puts His blood on you, and God puts His blood on me, when God washes away our sins and blots out our sins with the blood, and brother, when He blots out your sins with the blood, and brother, He puts them behind His back never to be remembered against you no more, when God looks at Christ, He sees you. And when He looks at you, He sees Christ. Amen. And the blood has set you apart. And He said, "That's my child." You said, "You don't look too sanctified, preacher." No. And sometimes I don't act too sanctified. And neither do you. But when Christ looks at me, He sees the blood of Jesus applied to my heart. And He said, "Because of Christ, He is mine, thank God." And I'm glad He still has got me sanctified when I ain't even right with Him. Amen. Somebody said, "Preacher, you've got to stay right with God to be sanctified." That's not what I read out of the Word of God. When He sets us apart. Did you know tonight that I sanctified a chair and said that chair is going to be set right there? And we sanctified it. And this chair is not going to go nowhere but right there. And if sometimes somebody come in here and got that chair and moved it over to the other side and begin to use it for something they should not use it for, we still got that chair sanctified that belongs to God. And whoever put their hands on it are going to get in trouble by playing around with something that belongs to God. And your body's the same way. You're sanctified with God. And you use it in the wrong place, God will take care of you. Amen. Now, I'm preaching some things tonight that you don't hear all the time, but it's the truth. Amen. I like the Word of God. It's very plain to me. Amen. I just get hung up on these words. Now, we know now we're sanctified by what? We're sanctified by the blood. We're sanctified by the Word. Now go back in your pantry where I told you a while ago, up on that top shelf where you can still see it, and pull off that out of 1 Corinthians chapter 6. What is it? The Spirit of God. We're sanctified by the blood. We're sanctified by the water. By the Word and the blood and the Spirit. All three of them belong to Christ. So we're sanctified by Christ. When we got saved, we become His property. Amen and amen. That's right. Now I want to turn, please, tonight. Did I read this while I go in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20? Let me go back and see if we read that. I didn't think we did. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 20. The Bible said, "For ye are bought With a what? What kind of price is that? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. My redemption didn't come cheap. They look at me like I'm a cheap somebody. It looked like I'm a no-count, no-good nobody. Matter of fact, I look in the mirror sometimes and I see nothing but a big old fat zero. And I look again sometimes and somehow I look again and God capitalizes that zero and it's a double zero with a hat on it. Amen. And I look at that and I say, why in the world would God take a double zero like me and save me by His marvelous grace? And then He says, it's by my blood. I did because I loved you and I loved the Father. And God can take a zero and make somebody out of them. Then He said, for ye are bought with a price, therefore what? Glorify God in what? Your body and in your spirit, which are God's. And that's what we're to do when we're sanctified tonight. We're to glorify God in our body. And we're to exalt and magnify the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't care where you're at. Down at the grocery store, down at the hospital, down at Kmart and Walmart, down on the job, we're to what? Glorify God in our body. I said, preacher, I'm glorifying Him in my mind. Okay. That's good. Keep a thinking on it enough. Maybe it'll get in your body. Amen. I'm sitting here saying, I'm glorifying God in my mind. I'm glorifying God in my mind. You keep glorifying Him enough in your mind, and you'll go crazy. Amen. And if you don't get some kind of tabs on that, after a while, you'll be looking like somebody's got a string. And you'll be going, glory. Glory. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glorify God in your body. Ain't that right? Glory to God. See? I'm telling you, He said, glorify God in your body. I'm just preaching the Word. Now turn with me to the book of Exodus. Glory to God. Got to get in that Old Testament just a minute. Go to Exodus chapter 13. I don't know why it is. Every time I get on a subject, it just gets bigger than me. I'll be glad I get to glory one of these days and I won't wire out and get tired. And I'm going to say hello to you and keep running for about a million. And if you're just sitting there like a dead stump, I'll be back around in a few billion years. I'll wave at you when I go by again. But I want to get a little touch of it tonight before I get there. Exodus chapter 13. Exodus chapter 13, verse number 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Moses the man of God. Look at verse number 2 and verse in the first word of that verse. What's it say? Say it loud. Sanctify. Glory to God. Now He's saying to Moses, matter of fact, if you mark this down, circle that word in the margin of your Bible, put first time mentioned in the Bible. The word sanctify. That's the first time sanctify is mentioned in your Bible. Now if you find out how it's mentioned in the first part of your Bible, you'll find out what it means the rest of it. Amen. He said, sanctify unto me all the firstborn. Do you know what the firstborn is? That's the first child born into your family. You might be a firstborn. And you may have if you've got children, you've got a firstborn. Might be the only one you got, but it's a firstborn. It says, sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast. He said, listen, sanctify them, both man and beast. Now look at the last three words of that verse. What does it say? It is mine. God said the firstborn of man is mine. God said the firstborn of beast is mine. Don't that correspond to what He said in the New Testament? You're not your own, but you've been bought with a price. What's He saying? You're mine. God said the firstborn was His. Now there's a law of the firstborn. You've got to remember this one thing. Let Egypt lost the first born, amen, when the death angel came through. But Israel was protected because of the blood. How are we sanctified? Blood! And they put the blood across the top and down the side posts. and on the inside of their houses when death was coming through and Egypt was losing their firstborn. Guess what? The Israelites are safe, sound, and secure because God had protected them. Because He said, it's mine. He said, what they are, they belong to me. And then what He says after that, and on down here you'll find He said, I want you to go make a memorial. And then He teaches some things. In verse number 3, He says, remember. And then in verse number 5, He tells them to make a memorial. And then in verse number 14, He's teaching them to teach. There's three things He's trying to get them across the sea. And what He's saying is this, I want you to have a memorial. I want you to celebrate this. What, in other words, what I've done is I gave mine to save you. Now I want you to give yours unto me because they belong to me. God said, I brought the blood. And blood that was offered on the top of the door and down the side post is a type of the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary. And when He's saying this, I give you the blood of my Son, and His blood's being shed for you, or will be shed for you one day. Now they belong to me because I purchased them. It's not because tonight you owe me anything, but He said, they belong to me. They're mine already. Now Christ says tonight, we're His. I'm not one of these days going to be His. I'm already His. Amen. Somebody said, one of these days I'm going to be saved. Well, you better hurry up. You might go to hell first. I'm glad, thank God, I'm already saved. Now, I remind you in the Word of God, Hannah done exactly what God said do. She prayed for a man child. God gave her a man child. That's her firstborn. She barren. She didn't have any more. Guess what she did? She took him to the house of God, let Samuel be the one. And brother, she went through the Scriptures and done the same thing and let him be the firstborn. Let me just give you something to throw on you. Look at Numbers chapter 3. Hold your place there in Exodus. Look to Numbers chapter number 3. Said, preacher, don't quit going to all them books. We'll never get out of here. Go with me. Numbers chapter number 3. Numbers chapter number 3. When you get to Numbers chapter 3, I want you to start reading with me at verse number 44. Numbers chapter 3 verse 44 said, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the cattle of the Levites instead of their cattle, and the Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. Amen. What did He say? All right, here's 12 tribes of Israel. He said, what I want you to do now is I want you to take the Levites, and I want you to pay a price for them. And what I want you to do is take their cattle. I want you to pay a price for them. And we're going to put the Levites into the priesthood. Brother, here's where the priesthood was ordained and come through the lineage of the Levites. And He said, from here on out, you're going to redeem them and take care of them. And from now on, you're going to pay their salary. And you're going to take care of them because they're going to go before God for you. Now, that's how you get into the thought of the New Testament, how that God wants you to take care of the man of God while He's preaching to you. Brother, He took care of those Levites. And them Levites, that you might have called them leeches or whatever you wanted to, but I want to tell you, God said, you're going to take care. Those 11 tribes had to take care of that 12th tribe, the Levites. God put it that way. God ordained it in the Old Testament. He does the same thing in the New Testament. I ain't got time to stay on that a while. But we'll come back. Now, would you go to Exodus chapter number 13? We're going to skip down a little bit. He said to remember. You remember what I've done. Remember what's happened. And then He says something else. Remember what's going to happen. Because one of these days I'm going to put you in the land of Canaan. Read that chapter when you get home. I'm going to put you in the land of Canaan. So they already had to remember that the promise of God was that they're going to the land of Canaan, which is the land flowing with milk and honey. They're going to have blessing on blessing on blessing on blessing. Brother, when they moved into that land, they throwed away the manna. They didn't have to have that no more. And they started eating the corn, amen, of the old land. Thank God. They had them a good meal from the earth that time. God helped them. Now, look at verse number 11. Chapter 13. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of Canaan, as He sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee. That's that promise. Look at verse 12. Thou shalt set apart. Isn't that what sanctify is? Thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix. That's the womb. And every firstling that cometh of the beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. You're going to give the firstborn unto the Lord. I still ain't got that message finished up that I want to preach on the firstborn. There's a lot in there. But I've not got time for it tonight. But look at verse 13. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. Can you see that tonight? He said, now if you got a donkey come in, you got to do one of two things to that donkey. You're going to have to get a lamb to redeem that sorry thing, or you're going to have to go chop its head off. Look at verse 13. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb, and if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. Excuse me, it didn't say chop his head. It said break his neck. Amen. You know why? It's a hard thing for God to take a donkey and make a stallion out of him. Amen. Looking at that, I've looked at this. Brother, it's hard sometimes to preach to a bunch of donkeys in the church, and you can't make stallions out of them either. But listen to this. God can do something with a donkey. Because I seen a man in the Bible riding one day. He saw an angel. And he said, what's going on? And the old donkey stopped. And the man kicked him a little bit and said, get on, go, go, go. And brother, the old donkey could see something he couldn't see. And God had done put an angel in his way. And about that time, the old donkey spoke. So bless God, I don't care how far down the chain you are, there's still hope for you. Glory to God. That's a theological point, I'll guarantee you. Amen. That's deep stuff right there. Listen. Go on. He said, and all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou what? Redeem. You redeem it with an animal. I don't have time to get into all that. But I tell you tonight, looking at this word sanctify, we're going back to the first chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians, and we'll not get to that word saints. I guess you can see that by now. But I hope this word sanctify and sanctification and sanctified means a little bit more to you tonight than what it did before you come. And I say tonight that you need to let God put you aside for His work. Now, some of you have been put aside for the Lord, that you belong to Him. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. He owns you. You don't own yourself. That means you can't do what you want to do anymore. That's why Paul said he's a servant in verse number 1. And so we have to be led by the Lord. But some of us are rebellious. And God could do more with you tonight if you'd let Him have more of you. And I want Him to have more of me. Don't you want Him to have more of you? Yes, sir. I want enough to where I start acting like the Lord. Talking like the Lord. Walking like the Lord. Amen. I would desire more of God. And I found out the only way I'm going to get that is to give more of myself to the Lord. Amen. Thank you for coming tonight. The word sanctify. The sanctification. Amen. I wanted to tell you the three ways you get, or the methods that God gets in there using these three things to get us sanctified. But we won't take that. Take another 30 minutes. We won't get into that. Amen. God can sanctify. How does He do it? How does God sanctify? We told you three ways. But how does He use them three things to get us where He wants us? Amen. That's a good question, isn't it? Maybe we'll get a good answer one day. Maybe we'll stop time, take time to preach it. Heads bowed. God help you. Appreciate you. Love you. Thank you for listening tonight. You didn't have to listen. You don't have to pay me no attention. God told me to preach. He didn't tell me you'd always listen. Matter of fact, God said they sometimes won't listen. But I'll tell you what, when you hear it, you've got to do something with it. And I pray tonight that you'll let the Lord do something in your heart. Amen. While they play, I'll ask you to stand. And I pray tonight that the Lord might touch your heart. Let Him have His way with you tonight.